Southern Pine, family-owned business that's been here for over 35 years. Call and set up an appointment or come in and browse their showroom from 9 to 4, Monday through Friday, and select from the finest ceramic, marble, glass, and stone tile materials in hundreds of styles to suit your taste and budget. They're located on Highway 15501 South near Zaxby's. That's Meadow Creek Tile, 910-693-7711.
My name is Tony Keith of Keith Hardware in Carthage, North Carolina. I'm the third generation of a family-owned business. We've been in business for 83 years. We sell live bait, crickets, minnows, and worms, fishing tackle, nuts and bolts and screws by the piece. You can still come in and get nails weighed out by the pound or ones or twos, however you'd like.
The guys, they know what they're doing. You don't have to ask for service. You tell them what you need. If they ain't got it, usually they can conjure it up.
Keith Hardware has been a tradition in this town for as long as I've been in business, 42 years, and they run a good business and they're good people.
I came in with two pieces of plumbing. I handed it to this guy, and he took off the back and picked it up and brought it back. Their knowledge is invaluable to me.
With the Keith Hardware for 28 years. I rent the building from them next door, and Tony and Ginger are doing an excellent job. I'm proud of them.
Come visit Keith Hardware today at 207 Monroe Street in Carthage.
We're just an old-fashioned hardware store.
Our temperatures are heading into the mid to upper 50s today. It's going to be a nice and dry one, but it's chilly to start. And as we head into the afternoon, we'll see those temperatures close to normal. Tonight, we're in the mid 30s. With rain building in overnight, we'll see those showers clear out by the afternoon. On Wednesday, highs for Wednesday will top in the lower 50s and the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Peter Sherwood in the Weather Center.
And now, the Sandhills number one morning show. Mornings with the leader man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Welcome to January 30th.
Welcome back. Today is a very special day.
And I think I smell croissants.
It is National Croissant Day.
Croissant.
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 Would you like a croissant?
We are celebrating National Croissant Day this morning.
Croissant? Ooh, croissants.
Croissant.
Croissants. I love croissants.
Oh, yeah.
It's showtime.
Morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sand Hills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, and don't forget, of course, we're being heard and seen around the world on a live audio stream that's available to you from our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com. or WEEB990.com. Upper right-hand corner of every page has an icon that says On The Air, Listen Live. Click that once and you should be listening that quick. If not, just go to the bottom of the page for our backup player. You'll see a player down there. Just hit the play button and you get the stream. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. Well, sunshine. Got to like that part. Partly cloudy, high of 55. Mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of rain likely overnight, 41 for a low. That rain comes to an end on Wednesday morning. Will be mostly cloudy with a high of 49. Clear by Wednesday night, a low of 31. Thursday, sunshine 60. Friday, sunny and 63. Saturday and Sunday, both partly cloudy skies, 58 and 56 respectively. Right now around the Sand Hills, winds are calm, pressure 30-20, dew point 29, humidity 90%. It is sunny and 31 degrees here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. All right, Bruce Springsteen, Hungry Heart. It is 8:33 past the hour on this Tuesday morning. And with me this half hour is Robert Levy, who is, of course, is the chairman of the Moore County Board of Education, probably the biggest job in the county. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Well, thank you very much. And I always like coming into WEEB. You know, I used to work here.
I think everybody who's native here has worked.
And I do remember spinning the records and the like. Times have changed.
Yeah.
But I always like coming into WEEB. I appreciate being here.
All right. Well, let's start out with what everybody's wondering about, and that of course is our schools. Let's start with enrollment. How are we on as far as reaching capacity, and what are the future needs of the schools?
Well, I'm glad that you're asking, because on February 9th, we're going to have a joint meeting with the Board of Commissioners and the school board to discuss what to do about some of our overcapacity. And we're also going to be discussing about what to do about fixing some of our schools and the like, and how to finance that and the like for that. But our biggest problem right now are high schools. And there are high schools in the lower part of the county. High schools are Union Pines and Pinecrest. They are way over capacity. And we've got to do something about that. One of the problems with Pinecrest, too, is that if some of the people might remember when Pinecrest was built, I graduated from Pinecrest.
Yeah. And 69 it was built.
Yes. And I graduated in the class of either 70 or 71, depending on whether you look at summer school as the class of 70 or 71. I graduated in the 11th grade. It was built because at that particular time, everybody was admiring California. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, California has these wonderful schools, and by the way, they have these open-air hallways. And so we don't have to heat the hallways, and we're going to make our school out of concrete instead of
wood.
Instead of putting a lot of brick there. I mean, well, yes, we have brick, but a lot of it, especially the breezeways, are concrete. Well, one of the problems is, if you've ever gone to school there, you know that being outside in the wintertime is cold, and it is not very good. From a security standpoint, it's a very, very open school, so we need to up the security of it. We're overcrowded in the school, so we are going to be doing a new high school at Sand Hills Community College, called an early college high school, an advanced vocational school. But that's only going to take about 400 students out of the schools.
And what is this school supposed to do?
Well, the new early college?
Mm-hmm.
The new early college will, in roughly 5 years, maybe a little less, give you both a high school and a college diploma, associate diploma, not a four-year diploma.
Right.
And it is going to concentrate on advanced manufacturing. Senator McGinnis, along with Representative Jackson, got about $25 million from the legislature. And that $25 million is going to go to either building a new building or renovating existing structures. Looks like we may be renovating existing structures. And try to fit in our vocational offerings to advanced manufacturing. Now, that might include electric car production. We don't quite know right now because we're in the planning stages. But there are a lot of advanced manufacturing, which is planned for surrounding Moore County. We need to up our vocational offerings. As you know, the idea of every child going into a four-year degree is not necessarily a great idea. You know, one of the good things about a vocational degree is that you leave college or you leave high school and you get a job and you have no student debt. And if you have no student debt, what do? You go out and you buy a house. You raise a family. If you have a student debt, that is tremendously hard to have $100,000 worth of student debt and then want to buy a $250,000 house. Mm-hmm. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for the students. And it's not necessary.
And it might be a little tough to get financed since you're coming out new in the world.
Well, that's absolutely true. So we need to up our vocational offerings, and we're doing that thanks to the early college program. We expect that early college will be up and running in about 2 years, which is lightning speed, by the way, for the Department of Education over in Raleigh.
Well, by renovating, you can really pick up speed.
Well, that's the whole idea. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we expect to put in our application, hopefully at the end of June, something like that, so that the Department of Public Instruction will look at it and will give us approval of it, and then we can begin the planning stages, and that includes finding the students who want to attend that high school, because it's going to be a very specialized high school, and it's going to have a lot of logistical problems because it's a magnet type school, and as a magnet type school, we're going to be bringing in kids from all over the county. Mm-hmm. And of course, bring in kids from all over the county, we have busing problems and the like, but we can surmount those problems with good planning and a good administration. We will do it because our board is dedicated to that proposition.
Well, you can bring all the kids into one central side or maybe two central sides, and there they load up on buses that goes straight to the college.
Yes, it's funny you should mention that, because one of the things that we've done with this bus driver shortage, and that's thanks to our assistant superintendent, Jenny Purvis, who I believe you've had on the radio station. She is in charge of our physical plants. Mm-hmm. Okay, she has created for bus stops generally some what we call community bus stops, so that the bus does not necessarily go to your home, so that in a neighborhood we can have one or two stops and
that's
then bring
the way
children
it used
in
to be.
Well, Mama
just won't trust her kids to stand there and catch the bus.
Well, yes, we have that. And, of course, you know, there are other small logistical problems. Like, for instance, we have special needs students who the mother has to be there to make sure that the child gets on the bus. But
it's fine if the neighborhood wants to have somebody, adult, at the bus stop
right
every day. You know, they just shift it around.
Right. But we work around that. And for the most part, it has worked well. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole idea is that you have to think outside the box. And you know, we have problems that with regulations and the like. So, for instance, you're talking about busing. You know that when you and I went to school, who drove the buses? The students.
Yeah.
The students who were 16 years old and older, and they did a very, very good job. Well, the Department of Transportation in Washington came out and said, no, you can't have students driving your buses.
Of course not. That might save you money.
That right. Might save you money, and also might give kids responsibility, because I'll tell you, the most responsible drivers that we had for the buses were the student drivers. They took driving that bus seriously, and we were safe, you know.
Wow.
So they had quick reactions, and they were glad to get the money because their families oftentimes needed the money, and it was a good thing.
Let me back up a little bit to the schools. How big is the illegal alien issue in our schools? In other words, I've asked this question to a ton of people, and I can't get the answer. How many illegals, roughly, do we have in our schools?
Well, number one, we can't know that. If you're talking about specifically illegal aliens, I'm going to try to answer your question as best I can. First of all, the United States Supreme Court, in a fairly old ruling, said that if a child shows up to your school, you have to take him in. You cannot question whether he is legal, illegal, or whatever. We can't. Take notes on it. We can't classify them. The only thing we do is educate them. Now, a lot of people might say that that's wrong or whatever. You've got to argue with the Supreme Court. All we can do as a school board is bring these kids in and educate them. But
okay,
I can tell you...
bring them in and educate them.
Yes.
What about instead of dumping them in all variety of classes which they can't understand... and have to have a translator with them. What about if you dump them all like in an auditorium and the only thing you teach is English till they can function?
Well, it's funny you should mention. First of all, I want to tell you that in the northern part of the county, we have what are called ESL students. English is a second language, okay? By the way, that is 60% of our kids in Elise and Robbins Elementary, okay? So
all speak Spanish.
Well, they speak Spanish. They speak English as a second language,
right?
Okay, and the dominant language, obviously, is Spanish. Mm-hmm. All right, that doesn't mean they don't speak English, okay? What it does mean is that they are taking up English as their second language, and generally at home, they're not going to be talking English. The parents among themselves are probably going to be talking in Spanish or whatever. Now, what compounds that?
Let me interrupt. Yeah. Just to remind everybody, we're talking with Robert Levy, chairman of the Moore County School Board, who is up for re-election this time. But go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So what do we do about that? Now, we have, and it's been this has been a program for a long time. We have what's called Spanish immersion. I'm not really super happy about that particular program, and we have to take a long, hard look at it. The way that works is that every other day, the students who choose to be in those programs, okay, we have both a Spanish immersion program and a regular English program. Every other day, they are taught in Spanish and in English, okay? The question really for me is, does that do the kids a lot of good overall? Should we be looking more at an English immersion with a Spanish counterpart so that we have less Spanish and more English? The reasoning actually is that when the kids take their end of grade tests and all the tests which rank the schools, and when we look at not only our strategic plan says that we are creating successful American citizens, that we do believe in a pluribus unum. Is this doing the kids any good? Because they're not spending as much time in English as perhaps they should, and therefore maybe their test scores are lower. We don't know. We're looking at that. And by the way, that's a fairly expensive program. Mm-hmm. It does oddly enough, a lot of the Anglo parents say it does give their kids an opportunity at a very early age to become fluent in Spanish, because the program is not just for Spanish-speaking children. It is for Anglo children who want to be in a Spanish immersion program. So that we have to take a hard look at. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is that, for instance, Elise Middle School is a restart school. It has not been doing that well. And we are looking very closely at that to see how we can help Elise Middle School do much better. And let me tell you something. The kids are great. The teachers are great. But they have a unique problem, and that is when you have English as a second language for 60% of your students, okay, and then you're taking all of your exams in English, and you have Spanish speaking. I want to make sure that I said that correctly. Spanish speaking at 60%, and then you take your exams in English. There's a problem. There's a problem there. By the way, Spanish immersion program is not at Elise. The Spanish immersion program is at Robbins Elementary. Robbins Elementary and Elise are sister schools. The kids who go to Robbins go to Elise, and they don't have any other feeder schools. So it's like one school system.
Yeah. What about parents? How much input do you get from? I guess what I'm trying to get at, because it tends to get under my saddle, is that the illegal acts happening at the border end up on my hip pocket tax bill, and it doesn't seem right. Do any parents complain about this, or we bend over too much for the illegals when, you know, I just don't have too much sympathy for them when they came illegally, deliberately, instead of coming in the right way.
Well, I understand it. By the way, I support Governor Abbott in Texas. I believe that we secured our border in the last administration. Okay, and this administration has opened the border. I mean, President Biden said it himself. Yeah. He said we want a surge at the border. The word surge were his words. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what do we do in the school system? Okay, what, you know, we wind up with the children.
They dump them on you and say, well, Supreme Court said, educate them.
Well, that's right. And we are seen elsewhere, by the way. Mm-hmm. The public schools are the school system that educates everyone. So, for instance, when you go, I mean, I've heard this story come time and time again, that people go to charter schools or private schools that send their children there, and they're called into the office with the principal of the charter school or the private school, and they say, well, your child doesn't do really well at our school. Our school isn't a great fit. So why don't you go over there to the public schools? Mm-hmm. Okay? So we could do a lot of complaining in the public schools. We don't.
Yeah.
We'd say, bring them on. Okay? We do.
Well, how much is that pulling back on the rest of the students?
Well, it does pull back as a problem, because the positive thing is that if you send your child to a public school, you're going to be with poor kids, with rich kids, with all sorts of kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get a feeling of the melting pot. And you're going to make some friends that you wouldn't necessarily think you're going to make friends with.
Yeah.
Okay, but a lot of our resources. I'll give you an example. In some of our poorer schools, we're spending, and some of our more challenged schools, we're spending up to $25,000 per student for schooling.
Wasn't that recently like 7,500?
Well, in some of our schools, we're spending 8,000 to 9,000 per student. You know, a lot of people say the money ought to follow the student, and that's really a good idea in the abstract. But one of the things that you have to think about is that not every student is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the average cost of a student doesn't tell us very much, because when we have a special needs student, when we have a student who needs what's called a shadow, a person who literally the child is so infirm that that needs a person to follow him around in school all the time,
mm-hmm.
versus a kid who's brilliant. Okay, and by the way, those are also special needs children. The children who are really brilliant, right. we need to give them special help, which we do, by the way. And then you have a child in the middle. That's the child. The child in the middle is the $7,000 or $9,000 child,
right.
which is great, you know, but we also have to concentrate a little bit more on that. So it's this balancing act, making sure that every child is educated. That's the challenge of the public schools, to make sure that every single child is educated.
What about other school amenities such as football fields and basketball courts and the like? How much of that kind of construction needs to be done?
Well, that is an ongoing thing. When we're looking at building a new general purpose high school, that's as opposed to the early college high school. That's only going to pull 400 students. The early college only going to pull about 400 students off of our two southern high schools, and that's not going to be enough.
Mm.
When you're looking at constructing ball fields and the like for students, you're looking at about $290 million for a brand new high school. It's expensive, but then you...
And that's just to put a comparison there, it was costing about $30,000-$35,000 for the elementary schools.
$40 million for the elementary schools to build an elementary school, yes. Actually, probably closer to $50 million today to build an elementary school. The obviously, high schools, one of the things about high schools and is that they are very expensive. And you will see a lot of charter elementaries and a lot of church-associated private elementaries and middle schools, maybe. But building a high school is an extremely big undertaking. You need everything from, for instance, one of the amenities which we have a swim team. Mm. At Pinecrest High School, we have a lacrosse at some of our schools.
I want to interrupt you because we're just
yes.
about out of time. I want to give you time to tell folks how to get in touch with you and your campaign and websites.
Okay.
So I'm down to 1 minute.
Well, I'm on Facebook. And you can get in touch with me by simply writing Robert.Levy at ncmcs.org. That's North Carolina Moore County Schools. And you can always get in touch with me. The key is that we have a great conservative school board. And we're doing really well. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk about some of the things that we've gotten out of the schools, like the teaching of transgenderism. We have a policy. We don't teach transgenderism. Mm-hmm. We got rid of critical race theory. I'm very, very proud, by the way, that we're now... have our school buses are going to be equipped with seat belts so that our students are going to be safe. We have a lot of great things that are happening in Moore County Schools, and we believe in school choice. We just believe that the best choice is Moore County Schools.
All right. Robert Levy, chairman of the Moore County School System. Thanks for coming in this morning and
thank you.
Educating us. Bob's the type of guy that his brain is just packed with history. And if you ever ask him a question, you'll get a good history lesson.
Thank you. Right. I appreciate it, Steve.
And so it goes for this Tuesday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for a Hump Day Wednesday. Until then, be sure to support the mom and pop businesses you hear on WEEB. They're the core of our economy here. Their money stays here, rolls over, and creates jobs. And it might be your youngins that get the job. So let's support them first. And if you want to be a part of the winning team, there's no better way to do it than with talk radio. Give us a call. We'll prove it to you. All right. That's it. We'll see you at the dog park.
When I come back,